Question: what is the scriptural view on political correctness? Answer: this is such an umbrella term that first of all we need to define what we mean by political correctness, and then we will have to see what exactly we mean by scriptural view, because there may not be any direct scriptural statement about such issues, and we will have to look at context to know, maybe by analogy, what could be done about it. Let's first look at what political correctness means. There are certain things. Bias has been innate, though undesirable, it has been an innate part of human society, and we humans are no different in that we too tend to be biased, and based on the bias that we have, we might use certain unflattering describers for people around us, and those unflattering describers, if you want to stop using them, then especially if that leads to name calling, it leads to humiliation of people just based on things which are beyond their control, say for example their gender or whatever, then that is something which is definitely undesirable, and that it's best to be avoided. So language is an indicator of mentality, and it's important for each one of us to not use language which is hostile to people unnecessarily. There are two different things. One is there is a necessary use of language that is sometimes provocative, even offensive, because that is what is the way to lead to a clearer understanding. Say for in general, so one extreme is that we don't want to unnecessarily hurt people. That is your extreme in the sense that is a laudable end. If somebody is just deliberately using words which especially involve some unchangeable characteristics among people, and then uses that to label them and demean them, say based on their, so for example there are unflattering words used based for to refer to certain groups of people based on which country they belong to, or which skin color they have, what physical attribute they lack, or something like that. Now these are denigratory terms, and using them, it's not just not using them is not just a matter of political correctness, it's just a matter of cultured discourse. And if that's what we are considering, then we definitely should avoid them. And we don't need to have political correctness specifically for avoiding them, nor does their avoidance need to be credited to political correctness. It can be credited just to basic civilized conduct in human society. Having said that, there is also the possibility, and not just a possibility, quite a increasing probability that some things are happening which take people away from the kind of situations that they have to face, where their ideas, their conceptions need to be confronted for the advancement of truth. So for example, if I have certain beliefs which I hold as true, but which may well be naive and untrue, then I may need to I will be jolted, agitated when my ideas are challenged. And is that necessary for the advancement of truth? It is. So if the sole criteria of political correctness is don't speak anything that will agitate anyone, then that is undesirable. So the elevation of sensitivity over truth, that means we consider being sensitive more important than being sensible or truthful, that itself is undesirable. Sometimes the truth requires, now of course we don't want to be deliberately insensitive, deliberately provocative, we don't want to deliberately disrespect someone, insult someone, hurt someone for the sake of hurting them. But there are times when that is what is required for understanding the truth. So in that situation, it's important that the discussion of serious ideas in the pursuit of truth not be censored and prohibited in the name of political correctness. And actually, political correctness is not just prioritizing sensitivity over truth, but sometimes it is prioritizing moral posturing about sensitivity over truth. So moral posturing is an increasingly used word to indicate increasing action that is done by some self-proclaimed moral guardians of society who claim that, you know, that doing a particular thing is immoral. Whether it actually is immoral or not is open to question. But in such situations, they deliberately provoke and denigrate based on their conceptions of what is right and wrong without seeking or gaining a holistic picture of things. And that definitely is highly undesirable. So if we are considering that kind of moral posturing about the truth, then that is just somebody trying to claim the claiming a higher moral ground without really doing anything except moral posturing about sensitivity. Oh, you should not speak like this, you should not speak like that. No, sometimes we have to speak in a way that is provocative, not just for provoking others, but for ensuring that existing conceptions be challenged in the pursuit of truth. Now, this does not mean automatically that the person who is provoking has the truth. It also does not mean that the person who is being provoked has the truth. Sometimes what is the truth needs to be understood based on careful discourse. And we have to look at that discourse to be able to move forward and understand what to do in particular situations. Having said that, if we now look at the broadly scripture, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, at one level, we can say there are two verses which do talk about sensitivity. 326 we have, na buddhi bhedam janayed ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidwan yukta samacharan joshayet sarva karmani, that don't na buddhi bhedam janayed, don't disturb the minds of people, act in a way by which people can be gradually elevated. And similarly, in the discipline of speech, Krishna says that act in a way that would be helpful for people to move forward in growing in their lives through proper understanding. So gradual elevation. In the discipline of speech, Krishna says, don't speak the, he says, anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahidam chet swadhyaya abhisanam chet vanmayam tapo uchyate. Speak truthfully, but also speak in a way that is sensitive, non-agitating. So what the Bhagavad Gita is telling is a balance. Now we will see that Krishna does use sharp language also. So Krishna is not naive over here, or is not, you could say, overly concerned about not hurting others. Where Krishna, for example, uses the word such as, if especially in 2, 2 and 3 in the Bhagavad Gita, he strongly, when Arjuna becomes reluctant to fight, Krishna uses words, strong words, so anarajishtam asvargyam akirtikaram Arjuna, anarajishtam, this is not worthy of an Arya, klaibhyam masmagam partha, klaibhya, that this is importance, kshudram hrudaya daurbalyam. Now kshudra could be used as a caste slur, Arjuna don't act like a kshudra, but it is not so much kshudra can refer to refer to the name of a caste, the kshudras, but that is also a noun that describes quality. Kshudra is small thing, shudra sukha. It does not necessarily mean the sukha that shudras pursue, but it is shudra is meager. So brahmana and shudra, these are also referring broadly to the way people think, and therefore shudram hrudaya daurbalyam refers not so much to what you should not, don't think like shudras, but don't think in a small minded way, don't be so small minded. So therefore Krishna does not hesitate to speak strongly to point out that what Arjuna is thinking about is not right, that he is thinking that he is being large minded and compassionate, but actually he is turning out to be small minded, and that's why you have to be careful so we don't bend backward in the name of political correctness and refuse to challenge ideas, but at the same time we, while presenting challenging ideas, try to present them in a way that is not deliberately provocative. That is not, especially not just provocative, that is not deliberately hurtful. So that would be a balanced understanding of approaching political correctness. Don't unnecessarily hurt people, but don't avoid speaking the truth, or at least pursuing the search for the truth. Don't avoid that. Is for the sake of avoiding hurting people. Thank you.